Hello and welcome to Knights of the Hardcover Side Quest Edition. My name is Brandon Castle. Joining me today, we have Chris Lauer and Zach Misick.
Hey.
Hey.
So as always, this is just our side quest podcast. We're just going to be discussing fantasy news, things that are kind of out there right now, whether it be movies or games or whatever else is out there that we want to talk about. So it's a real free-form podcast. Hopefully it's informative. Hopefully it's a little fun. Something, you know, just to kick things off here. I went to a haunted house last night. I went to two haunted houses last night out here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Horror, just the worst thing. I paid like $40 to go into these, and it was really? Just a bunch of clowns like standing around in a cornfield being like, hey, I'm scary. So I would like to make a formal plea with the city of Seattle. Get a fucking haunted house in this city that's not for children. My God, it is spooky season and I'm ready to be spooked.
Oh my goodness. I would have thought, you know, in the big city out there in Seattle that they'd have better haunted houses out there or something like that.
I have a couple theories. It could be too regular. And they don't want to step on any feelings out here. So I was thinking it's just because there's like such limited farmland that they just don't have like places to put it, you know? And so maybe something like that, but still this one was through a giant cornfield and it sucked. Mm. And the whole way home, I was telling Aaron about how great like Nebraska haunted houses are and, you know, Midwest haunted houses.
What makes them scary for you?
Anything. I like just like having the unknown or like the pop out scare and stuff like that. They didn't have any of that really. It was just like people like standing in a room being like, I'm scary. And it's like, no, you're not. What's going on here? Like even Aaron, who's like a big wuss with that stuff, could not handle or was like totally fine. I mean, the entire way through. She was just like, this is lame. So
that's disappointing.
Yeah. So I'm you've been warned, Seattle. You have 24 hours.
It is tough. I once volunteered at a haunted house, and it's it's not very easy to
do. Well, you know, my dad used to run a haunted house back when he was probably, you know, maybe a little bit younger than we are now. And they used to rig up, like, they used to electrocute people. Like, they had a wall. They had a wall that was electrocuted. That was, like, one of the scares. Can you imagine if you're, like, scared and you touch a wall and it shot?
Oh, my God.
I mean, I was going to ask why it doesn't do it anymore, but I'm assuming they had a lot of lawsuits or something.
It only lasted 2 years. I don't remember exactly why they got shut down, but, yeah. It was a Wild West. It was probably the 70s.
Yeah. I think we figured it out.
Electrocuting people. Yeah, I think we know.
Well, you know what? Talking about spooky season, that is a good segue into my first recommendation here. And I haven't actually seen this yet. It's not actually fantasy. It's probably more horror. But Hulu just came out with a new Hellraiser movie. And I'm actually completely new to Hellraiser. I never watched the old movies. I was actually kind of scared of them as a kid. You know, Pinhead is a pretty freaky looking dude. But I've heard pretty good things about this new movie. I've heard that the visual effects are top notch. And it's just kind of an interesting story. You know, like the Cenobites, I've heard that they're just like masochists. They're obsessed with pain. And it seems like an interesting story. I'd like to check it out. And I don't know. You guys ever seen Hellraiser? Have you seen this movie?
Yeah, I loved the original. I think it was like 1980s, somewhere in that time. The Cenobites essentially are, they've sought so much pain and masochism in their lives so that they just can't tell the difference between pain and pleasure anymore. So they just travel the universe trying to cause as much pain as possible because they think that's pleasure. So
they think they're helping people?
I wouldn't go that far, but... They're definitely just searching for like the next best thing. Like, you know, they've done the bondage. They're ready for more.
Sure.
And growing up, I wanted so badly to be Pinhead for Halloween. My parents would never allow it because it was too demonic for our household.
Didn't let you stick the pins into your head like that?
Nope. We were a nice Christian household. We weren't allowed to watch it.
Zach, have you seen it?
Technically.
No, I've never heard of this before. Is this the one with like the big red guy?
the big red guy. I don't know. He's all sorts of pins in his face.
Oh, you're thinking of Clifford. No, it's different than that.
The big red.
Isn't there
dog.
Some like Hellraiser with like a big red devil running around?
You're thinking of Hellboy.
Yeah, you're thinking of Hellboy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
completely
that too.
Different. Very different. They've tried Hellboy a couple of times. I like the first Hellboys. I didn't watch the new one, but
I'd have to watch it again because I loved those again as kids too, but I don't know about the new Hellboys. But
yeah.
Hellraisers, definitely check it out, Zach. It's if you're looking for a good supernatural, like spooky movie, it's really fucked up. So
Greg's favorite.
Yeah. Chris, did you say is it a movie that they're doing or is it like a limited series TV show?
I believe it's a movie. I think it's a movie. I should probably know this, but I do plan on watching it here soon, and I'll report back to you guys.
And that's on awesome. Hulu, right?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
All right. Well, I'll probably watch that tonight, actually, because
it says rated R, so it must be a movie. I don't think they rate TV shows.
Okay.
Hopefully that's my first one. My second is a bit of news here. I think we're all kind of Wheel of Time fans. I'm not sure if Zach would consider himself a big fan of Wheel of Time, but I'm a big Wheel of Time fan. Read all the books. The first season was okay, but the trailer, there was like a sneak peek for the second season. There's also a couple stills of the new Matt actor and Elaine Trecand. And they look okay. I think I'm excited that Matt got recast. I don't think the last actor did like a bad job, but he really didn't suck me in like maybe some of the other actors did. And I'm excited to see what Elaine can do. The sneak peek looked pretty good. My favorite part about it was the Shan Chan. I think that they looked super cool.
Yeah, so I'm still on book 4 of Wheel of Time right now. It's kind of like my side books.
Sure.
And so I haven't finished the first season yet. I'm like 3 episodes in. I'm trying not to get too spoiled on book stuff. Are you more excited for the second season than you were for the first?
No, I'm not. I'm not more excited for the second season. I think the second season has some work to do. The first season was fine. It wasn't great. And I think if the second season isn't great, they're going to have trouble renewing this thing moving forward.
I mean, Amazon put like a lot of money into the show, though, right? To get the IP for it.
I think so, but I'm of the opinion that either this show or Rings of Power, one of them will not make it to the end of its series life. So we'll see.
So with you completing the whole series and then watching the first season, what did you think about the first season personally? I know there's a lot of like mixed reviews out there. People love it. People hate it. What did you personally think?
Yeah, I really thought it was fine. I'm not like mad. Like some people are mad that it didn't stay true to the book. I'm not really mad that it didn't stay true to the book. The violence was really good, at least in the beginning. The final battle was a little tough. But overall, general impressions, it's just kind of like a meh. And it needs to be good, I think. If you're going to try to cover 15 books worth of content, you need to have like a great show or they just won't get there.
I started to read the books and I quit after the third one. And then I watched the Wheel of Time TV show and actually really liked it. I thought it was better than the books, or at least the decisions that the show made, I agreed with. And it got me to go back to the books. So I finished the entire book series. And I don't know, I'm really looking forward to season 2. I've liked all their decisions and a little bummed that Moraine's wig budget didn't go up at all. But the Shan Chan looked really cool. I'm excited to see what they do.
Oh, the Shan Chan looked badass in that sneak peek.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
You probably never even saw Shan Chan then, BJ, if you're only on book 4. You haven't even got to them yet, maybe.
No, I am going slow through it right now.
I think they're in book 3, 2 and 3.
They're in book 3. But they're not as big of a deal in book 3, I don't think.
Yeah.
Are they the seafaring people that took over Tear? Oh, okay. Yeah. I know what you're talking about then. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the Shanxian. They have these like really cool, almost bug looking masks. That's pretty badass.
Man, the way you're saying it is just very different than how I read it. And so I didn't even know that's what you were talking about. I had no idea what you're talking about. I always in my head say Siachin. So
Siachin, yeah, it's weird. Yeah. I always got the pronunciations for you guys since I mostly listen to my books. That's how they say it in the audiobook. Shanxian.
Yeah. Thank God we have you, or we'd be a very lost group of Potters here.
Yeah. But that's all I got. Those are my two.
They really need to hit the second season. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen the whole first one, but with mixed reviews and how much money, I'm just reading how much money they put into this. They put like $10 million an episode into this on top of buying the IP for it. Yeah. So it's like, man, maybe put less money into it and just worry about the writing and like the character development and stuff. But I don't know. Hopefully they land it, because once I'm done with these, I'm going to want to watch the full like series. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think they got screwed over too because COVID hit towards the end of their filming, and I think that's why some of those last few episodes fell a little flat or felt rushed, or the CGI wasn't great because of it, because they kind of had to resume limited sets.
They had that awkward situation with Matt near the end. We won't spoil anything for you, Brandon, but there was just like this weird exit for Matt's character that didn't really make any sense, and it was because the actor kind of like got kicked off the set, and there was also some COVID going on. So it was just kind of a weird thing. So I'm excited for season two. I'm ready for it. But like I said earlier, I was more excited for season one, I think.
It sounds like Matt was just doing, what do you call it? Method acting is what it sounds like. Yeah.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, I guess I could see
getting kicked off the set, causing some mayhem. Yeah.
Yeah, true. Very true.
All right, Zach, what do you got for us today?
All right, kind of keeping in theme with Chris's, I also kind of have a spooky pick. Marvel's new TV special came out this last weekend, Werewolf by Night. It's like their first TV special that they did, and I watched it, and I actually really enjoyed it. It's kind of, it kind of gives that like monster, universal monster vibes from like the 50s and 60s. It's all like in black and white and kind of like spooky with mostly practical effects. There is like some CGI, but it's like mostly practical, and it kind of, I guess, scratches that itch for those like old school black and white, and I ended up really enjoying it. I hope Marvel does more of these like TV specials, like an hour or so, like with these characters. Have any of you guys checked it out or heard anything about Marvel's kind of new strategy of doing these TV, like one-off TV specials?
Yeah, I saw they announced this at was it D23 they announced it, or what are the things this last year? And it was actually one of the things I was most excited about from that, because I love these old school like horror films, these campy films, the screamers, slasher film type stuff. I really, really like them. I haven't been able to convince Erin to watch this one with me. I showed her the trailer over the weekend and she was a hard no. So I'm going to be watching this one in the next couple days by myself when she goes to bed, but I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Was it spooky? Was it scary?
I mean, some of it was kind of spooky. Like, it kind of spooked me out a bit, but also too, I feel like you could show it to like a 7-year-old as like an introduction to horror. You know what I mean? Like it's Marvel horror. But there was some kind of spooky, like, where's the monster at? Don't go around that corner type vibes, but it worked.
Yeah, I definitely want to. It's definitely on my list. I'm going to check it out. One thing I have to say about it is that they announced it at D23, and then they pretty quietly just released it. You know, I didn't hear a lot about the release. It was just kind of people are like, oh, yeah, Werewolf by Night came out. Zach, you told me about it. And I didn't hear, I don't know why, if that was a choice they didn't want to market it, or if they're waiting maybe to market it more heavily around Halloween. It just seemed kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of awkward timing though with Hocus Pocus 2 coming out like right around the same time that they put, it seems like, a lot of their marketing on that side of things, and we're really trying to get like the family film at the front of their marketing strategy, but they didn't do anything for Werewolf by Night. So yeah, I'll be interested.
Yeah, I thought so too. With Hocus Pocus came out the same weekend, and then also for Marvel, we're kind of towards the end of She-Hulk's run too, so it's kind of weird that they dropped this now, but they must have wanted to get it out before Halloween was over.
Yeah, I don't know how She-Hulk's got me to watch that entire season, but I have, and it is awful. But anyways,
I love it. We'll have to talk about that later.
Yeah, it's a different discussion.
Yeah.
All right, Zach, what's your other one?
All right, my next one is a book suggestion. If you kind of need like a break from fantasy, but still want to kind of dip your toe in it, it's called Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, and it's a novel by Gabrielle Zevin. It came out this summer, and it's been like all over my social media. It's made already a bunch of like best of the year lists kind of already. It's been featured on some podcasts and TV shows and stuff. So I checked it out, and it's pretty good. I recommend it. It's about these like two friends in college decide that they want to create video games together. So it's like very much about video games, but at the same time, as kind of has nothing to do with video games, it's kind of about these two characters. And I liked it because it is kind of like a love letter to video games. And for me, I like the idea of video games more than playing video games. And I felt like the way that this book was written kind of scratched that itch for me of, you know, showing the love of a video game and how that kind of affects relationships, or kind of how video games are kind of a shared language between like friends and stuff. And I liked that. But yeah, that's kind of like a recommendation for if you need a break from fantasy, but still kind of want that hits of nerdness. This is a good one. Have you guys nice. Ever heard of this book at all?
No,
first time. I haven't. Yeah. I got to go back. What do you mean with your relationship to video games? Like what does that mean to you? I don't quite understand that.
I'm right on board with you, Zach.
Yeah. I mean, you watch some like these game trailers and it looks like really fun. You know, you have to like solve these puzzles, or you go on and play like split screen with your friends. Like all that sounds like really cool and fun, and beating levels and bosses and figuring out what hidden paths you have to take and which items to use to defeat the bad guys. Like that all sounds really cool, but I just like don't have any desire to pick up a video game controller, or if I do, I'm like bored after like 30 minutes. And so that's kind of like what I mean with that, where the idea of it sounds a lot cooler than the practice for me.
Yeah, Zach, to piggyback off what you're saying, I completely agree. I always wonder how much of it is like nostalgia for me, or like, you know, my attention span just being demolished by current media or something like that. But I'm with you. Like I used to play a lot more video games when I was a kid. I try to play video games. I just, for some reason, I do it for a couple hours and then I can't. And sometimes I'll play a game for like a week straight, and I won't play it one day, and for no reason, I just never play it again. I might have been having so much fun with that game, but you know, I put it down one day, and then for some reason, I just could never get myself to go back to it. But the new Harry Potter game, can't wait. Definitely going to get it. We'll play it until I randomly stop one day.
I mean, that makes sense. As we get older, too, it's hard to like, you know, you're on a computer screen all day, or you're on your phone all day or whatever. It's hard to like go home and then be on another screen all night. So I get that. But man, if I find a good video game, I put like hundreds of hours into that with no questions asked.
I'm jealous.
Don't be. It's such a waste of time. There's so much better things I could be doing with my time. But
like reading fantasy books.
Well, I mean, I just started playing RuneScape again a couple months ago, and that was a nightmare. That led to some dark time, so I had to erase that from my phone.
Never gotten that one. Don't know why. Never got into it.
Ooh, don't do it. all right, Zach. And so, is that a recent book that came out, Zach? Or like, what would you give a rating for that one?
Yeah, this book came out July of this year. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars. Like, I really enjoy it. I kind of want to revisit it again.
How many out of 7 would you give it?
Jeez, out of 7, I would give it like 5 out of 7, I think.
All right,
5 or 6, 5.5, and I don't know. Like it was really good. It was one of like the better books that I've read lately, but it wasn't like perfect. You know what I mean? Probably the top 5 books of the year, but not like my number 1 or 2 or 3 spot.
Yeah, not as good as Fairy Tale, am I right?
No,
which will be coming up on a future pod, so stay tuned for that one.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll hit mine here real quick. My first one is just the trailer drop for the new Super Mario Bros. Movie. Once again, got mixed reviews. It's got Chris Pratt as a non-Italian Mario. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be. I thought it was just going to be like, hey, I'm Chris Pratt and I'm Mario now. But like, it had like a little bit of cartoony sounding to it. But overall, I don't have really any interest of seeing that movie.
You know, I tell you what, I saw the I loved everything about the trailer other than Chris Pratt's voice. And I'm not even saying that I hate Chris Pratt's voice. I haven't heard enough. It was jarring to hear. I don't know if I could get used to it. But in general, like the Mario adventure really hit for me. Maybe video game nostalgia, like Zach was talking about. I was in on the Mario-ness of it. We'll see about Chris Pratt. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Chris. I love the trailer, and yeah, it was very jarring hearing Chris's Pratt voice. But I'm looking forward to it. I'll probably see it.
Let's go.
Hi, I'm Mario.
Yeah.
Look, it's thus I am Mario. It looked so much like the video games. I was like, what's the point of this movie? Like, I could just go play the video game and that's the movie. So why would I just go play the video game?
Great segue.
People like me who doesn't want it. Yeah,
we can't play video games. This is it.
Yeah, it scratches that itch.
I guess maybe there's a whole market out for that now. People that are too lazy to play video games somehow.
Well, they probably just watch Twitch then, really, you know, if they just want to watch the video game.
True. I heard that
Marvel, or I heard that Nintendo is trying to create like a Marvel Cinematic Universe. You guys hear that?
Yeah, I assume at this point we're going to have Smash Bros. In the next like 3 to 4 years, because we have Sonic, we have Mario, we have Kirby, we have...
like, dream come
what's
true.
The other? Pikachu too. Like, they got everything.
That sounds horrifying, to be honest.
I can't wait. I'm already excited about it right now.
What'd you guys think of the Sonic movies? I'm curious.
Didn't watch them.
I watched like the first half of the first one and I quit.
But you're excited for this one because this is literally the same thing. Oh, I guess that was live action though, so it's a little bit
different. I'm not a big fan of like the live action with like a CGI cartoon running around with them. I like it if it's like pure cartoon. Well,
I love that Reddit bullied them into making Sonic better back in the day. That's got to be one of the website's best moments.
Yeah. How great
they
is
need
the
to do that with Chris Pratt.
How great.
They might.
I mean, the voice actor for Mario is still alive. Like, just have him do it. I don't get why they wouldn't.
I don't think I want him because he's a little too intense. If I had to listen to like 2 hours of pure Mario voice, I don't think I could do it. I need like a happy medium between him and Chris Pratt.
Well, I do think they needed some star power, so it is what it is.
But for like an animated movie, do you really need star power? I don't know. All of the new modern like animated films do, and I don't think you do if you just have a good movie. But I don't know.
Yeah,
it's all about marketing, you know.
Yeah, it's stupid. Yeah. I was a fan of the Sonic movies quite a bit. They're horrible, horrible movies, but I really liked them. So
I do want to watch them. I'd never gotten around to it. I'll watch them someday.
They're fun. They're easy watch, you know. But I do think the funniest part of the whole Super Mario Bros. Trailer dropping is everyone calling for the return of Mario's fat ass too, which I think is the funniest thing ever.
That was good. I like that as well.
You can't have a flat backside Mario. It doesn't make any sense. He's Italian.
That's true.
Oh, cut that shit. Cut that.
It's all the jumping that he does.
Oh, yeah. Squat king. Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Well, you know, you think about it. He couldn't jump that high without that fat of an ass. You know what I mean? The physics wouldn't make sense. So you kind of need to bring it back.
Maybe once he eats that mushroom and grows, then he'll get it.
A mushroom goes straight to your thighs. That's what I've heard.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, and the other one I had was the recommendation. It's nothing new. It's something that's new to me. About 2 years ago, I started really getting into Star Trek, watched through Deep Space Nine. I've watched through Next Generation and the original Star Trek series. So I'm working my way through all the new, or not new, all of the series right now. But my brother recommended Orville to me, which is Seth MacFarlane written, directed, starred in. It's a parody on Star Trek, but I'd watched it. It came out about 4 years ago originally. I watched the first episode. I hated it. Like, I didn't really want any more Seth MacFarlane like humor in my life, because after Family Guy, I was kind of like, I'm not 14 anymore. And so that's what the first season of the show is really like, really parody of Star Trek. And then the next two seasons after that actually turn into like a more sophisticated, really intelligent show. And it's still honestly funny. Like, one of the still got like laugh out loud funny parts, but that's like more mixed in with the actual storyline rather than being like the whole driving point of the show, which is what the first season was. And it's really turned into one of my favorite shows that's currently on TV. The third season just wrapped up a couple months ago. I mean, it deals with like gender identity, it deals with like sexuality, suicide, like all these really like what does it mean to be alive, all of the kind of things that makes Star Trek such an impressive show, an important show. But it makes it more modern, and it takes a really interesting and unique take on all of those things too. It really surprised me with all that. I didn't know Seth MacFarlane could think deeply at all, so to get some of that in the later stuff was really, really impressive. So it's my recommendation if you're in any way a Star Wars, Star Trek, even just like you liked, I don't know, what was the movie called with Tim Allen? Galaxy Quest. Even if you just liked Galaxy Quest, it's something to check out because it's very in line with those. So
is that on Paramount Plus?
It's on Paramount Plus and also on Disney Plus too. It's technically a Disney property. Everyone was expecting season 4 to be announced at D23, but it wasn't. So season 4 is still in flux, which is why I'm trying to get more people to watch it, because I need a season 4 now. I just finished season 3 and I need it back. If you're a science fiction fan of any kind, definitely check it out. Were you guys Family Guy fans back in the day or still?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I watch Family Guy. Sure. I don't know if I don't know what night it was on. I don't know when new episodes came out, but I mean, it's kind of like The Simpsons, you know, it's just always on. And I like it. I liked it fine. You know, it was a funny show. I have heard about the Orville. I've seen a couple episodes. My dad is obsessed with this show. He loves it. I'm not sure if he ever really watched Star Trek as a kid, but maybe he must have, because like you said, you know, it's a spin on Star Trek, and I've heard good things.
Yeah, and that's one of the really like really cool things about it is it gives the nostalgia for the older guys that watched it back in the 70s and 80s and stuff, but it also has like a really new spin on everything and really ties it in with like modern politics in a very subtle and really intriguing way. So it's a good blend for new and old.
How long are the episodes?
An hour. They're hour-long episodes, for 45 minutes or whatever. So each season's got about 12 episodes in it. But yeah, there's a character, Bordis, who might be the funniest character of any show I've ever watched. So he comes from a planet where everyone's male, and so it causes a lot of very funny, and also later down the road, some very interesting storylines.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I've never watched like Star Trek at all, so this might be a good like entry point into that.
I mean, it's Star Trek for people that don't want to watch Star Trek is how I would basically wrap it up. But yeah, definitely give it a try. Let me know what you think. Yeah.
And 45 minutes is like the perfect length for a TV show.
Definitely. So yeah, any other comments? Anything else you guys want to talk about today?
I got one thing.
Okay.
As of recording, episode 8 is the most recent episode of House of the Dragon. And I just got to say, I loved it. Electric episode. Amond is a star. Love him. That's all I got.
Agreed.
Yeah. This is the best Game of Thrones IP or Game of Thrones anything that's come out in quite some time since like season like 6 of the actual Game of Thrones show. So
yeah.
No spoilers yet, but that was a hell of an episode. They sliced right through the tension. But
very strong episode.
Yeah. God damn you, Aegon. Anyways, well, I think that's all we got for y'all today. We'll keep it short here. Just wanted to do a quick update, but we'll be back again next week. We'll have our full episode on Tuesday dropping of the Goblin Emperor. It's going to be hopefully our longest pod ever, and we'll never go over an hour and a half again, hopefully, but it's a long one. So if you're a fan of Goblin Emperor, this one's for you. That'll be next week, and then we'll see you again for side quests the week after that. So as always, don't forget to do the side quests.